Well, this position of unmatched authority, imagine it, is desired by vested interests. In other words, people who have some reason for wanting that power other than their submission to serve Christ. Vested interests. So right off, both, you could imagine, both Satan and ambitious men would desire to occupy that place of authority. And so therefore, we do have to understand there is a risk and a danger. I'd hasten to say the Lord always has really, really good people. And across the body of Christ, across the ministry as a whole, across the fivefold ministry, there are huge numbers of the most wonderful men and women walk with Christ, who love the church and work hard. On the whole, the ministry is not filled with counterfeits. But nevertheless, counterfeits exist. And there's a certain degree of prevalence of it, and we need to be discerning to realize that not everything that claims authority and power is Christ. So anyway, the real difference between the real apostles of Christ and false apostles is the real apostles are not in it for themselves, but they're in it for the sake of Christ and for his people. Now, on this point then, we're going to compare a couple of scriptures. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll read you these passages. And Paul here sets out qualities of real apostles. Just take a listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4:1, for example, he says of himself and his team and of people like Peter and Apollos, he says, "So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God." Now that's a clear statement of how apostles ought to be regarded, ought to be received. God has trusted them, entrusted them, and we should trust them too. This is the real apostle. And he goes on some verses later, verse 9, to say, now, pause for a moment. Here's what I'm trying to say. If it was only verse 1, so then men ought to regard us as those entrusted by God, yes, vested interests would desire that. They want to occupy this position of trust and power. But the vested interests of Satan and ambitious men usually will not go to the second thing that Paul says here. Listen to what he adds on as a qualifier. He says, "For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We've been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men." Really what he's saying is there's a mighty lot of hard work and exposure to the elements, if you're right, to all kinds of dangers and to difficulties and to struggles that the real and the genuine apostle will have. The false don't really want to embrace those. And he has more things to say. For example, here, verse 12 and 13, he says, "We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world." So this is Paul's definition of some of the stuff that genuine apostles must go through. And could I say, unless they do, they never become genuine apostles. You cannot ever have the kind of character fully developed in apostles, nor the surrender, the humility, the true representation of Christ in someone that has not been taken to particularly low places and beat up a fair deal. And you come through that, no bitterness, no unforgiveness, and yet cheerful and full of joy and trusting. It's an amazing process how the Lord produces genuine apostles, but never without the difficulties. Anyway, what is a counterfeit? This is where we get down to business. I need to tell you a story, anonymously, And this occurred here in this land. But years ago, there was a fellow rising in one of the cities of Australia who was pushing himself forward, making a bit of a name for himself with teaching he was putting out on the internet and going around preaching and claiming to be an apostle and claiming to have authority and claiming to have knowledge and revelation. And I read one or two of the things he'd written and it just didn't feel right. The thing is, it looked like the real thing. He was addressing the kinds of subjects that Christ is addressing through apostles, such as city eldership, and acknowledging, you know, apostles and prophets are being restored, that kind of thing, and that the church in the city is meant to become one. But I noticed in the teaching two things that were minimized, downplayed, or removed completely. One was that he acknowledged that apostles were coming and were here and were meant to minister to the body of Christ, but he gave them no authority. And relative to the city church, relative to the church of the city having elders, his position was these elders were not subject to apostles. They governed their city and they pleased themselves whether they took notice of apostles or not. And I thought, no, hugely dangerous doctrine. Something wrong here. He completely discounting authority. And the other thing that was very clear was even though he had a lot to say about the city would become one, the church would become one, elders would lead it, there was not a word in there with respect to their relationships, how they would love one another. In other words, no insight at all about the glue, the Holy Spirit glue, that would hold it together. So he had effectively in this teaching put up this big picture of how wonderful, you know, claiming this is apostolic teaching, but he had removed from it the two things, the two single most essential elements that make it work, give it any power, or make it genuinely the apostolic message of Christ. And I thought there's something really wrong here. But I didn't know the fellow, it's a long way away. You know, what could I do? But one day, I guess it was months later, suddenly my back went on me one day. I don't have a bad back, but suddenly just slipped and I was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable for days. And I flew to Tasmania and Hazel flew down. We had ministry down there and we get together. I mean, Monday I pick her up. I'm still uncomfortable. And Tuesday morning we get up really early for prayer because I got a problem here. I got to get rid of this. So we 4:30 a.m. we're into prayer. Because that morning I got to drive to another city and meet a pastor and his leadership team. And we're seeking the Lord about this bad back. And what I discovered was another five of my key leaders and intercessors here at Peace had all got hit or touched with bad backs all at the same time, same morning, same day. And you think, now the Lord's giving us a signal. It's a call to prayer over something. This is prophetic. So we were seeking the Lord. And I was surprised by what he told us, clear as could be, that this fellow of whom I'd been concerned about his teaching, was a false apostle. And because he was rising and pushing himself up and claiming a lot of attention and claiming authority over territories and getting people to follow him, but the Lord said he's a false apostle, and he wanted me to pray to undo this situation. And I was uncomfortable with this because he was saying he's a counterfeit. And I was very uncomfortable with this because I knew this fellow was a confessing Christian. I knew that he believed, that he'd been born again. He'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had Pentecostal experience. I knew he was teaching the Bible. And I'm thinking, how can someone who is a Christian and an actual minister, and they're in the fivefold ministry, and that part of it is all genuine, how could that kind of person be a counterfeit apostle or a counterfeit minister? And I struggle with that, but this bad back kept jabbing away, and the insistence of the Lord was that I take up the burden in prayer. And so in the end I said, Lord, I'll pray about this every day. And the moment I did, boom, back healed, completely set free. So it means I'd heard the word of the Lord. But that morning, as I was driving to this other city in Tasmania, we were staying in Devonport and we were driving to Launceston, about an hour. I'm at the wheel and I'm struggling with this word counterfeit. How can someone who's born again, their sins have been forgiven, they've been baptized in the Spirit, and they're preaching the Bible, be a counterfeit? And it was on that drive that the Lord explained it to me.